أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من أمزه ونفخه ونوفي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله ثم الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت علام الغيوب. All praises are due to Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beneficent, most merciful. I beseech Allah to shower His blessings and compassion on the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is also his companions and the majority of believers to the day of recompense. Without wasting our precious time, the topic I was given to discuss has been said by the moderator. So may Allah reward the organizers of this online lecture. The topic has to do with Tarbiyatul Awlad fil Islam, child upbringing in Islam. Child upbringing in Islam. Sincerely yours, the topic is highly relevant in this contemporary time when a lot of children, they are turned to deviants, they are disobedient, they are not ready to be law abiding, they are infidels, polytheists. They are not ready to listen to their creator. So if one has, you know, neglected his duties towards his creator Allah, so the same set of people will still not be obedient to their parents, the constituted authorities, among others, because that bad attitude will affect them in all aspects of life. So that is why the topic is highly relevant. And I have with me here nothing less than 7 to 8 different subheadings under the topic child upbringing in Islam. So I will try to be brief on each subheading, each segment. So we will be able to cover a lot. May Allah assist us. Number one is that as Muslims, we should understand that giving birth to children is a favor, is a blessing, is a special gift from Almighty Allah. We do not deserve it. Please let us understand. Al-waladu ni'ma, al-waladu hibba. We should understand that these children we are talking about, if you are endowed by Allah, if Allah has blessed you with a child, you need to be extremely appreciative and thankful to Allah, because He only did that out of His blessings and favors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran, in Surah Al-Shura, Quran chapter 42, verses 49 to 50, Allah says, لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. Allah says in Quran, where I want to use us to save our time is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever He wishes, He gives them, He bestows on them male children. Some people, He bestows on them female children. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give one both males and females, both sons and daughters. Allah does this. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. And out of His wisdom. Allah knows best. Some people, they will not be given any child. They will remain barren till eternity. They will not give birth to any child. We supplicate to Allah. Some of our brethren were in that situation. May Allah, out of His blessings, accept their prayer. Now, if Allah has now done that for us as Muslims, we need to be thankful. We need to appreciate Allah on that. That is the first aspect. The second aspect is that as giving birth to children can be a gift, can be a favor, can be a blessing from Allah, we still need to understand al-waladu fitna. Al-waladu fitna. Let us understand. Giving birth to children sometimes may still be a trial, a calamity, an affliction, problem. This Allah told us in Quran, wa'alamu, in Surah Al-Anfal, Quran chapter 8, verse 28, Allah says, wa'alamu, annama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna, wa anna Allaha 'indahu ajrun 'azim. Allah says, no, for sure, no, certainly, that your properties that you accumulate, your children, fitna, they are nothing but trials, test from Allah, problem for you. And scholars have explained, children can be problems, can be trials, when they are not groomed, when they are not brought up in line with Islamic teachings. You see your children committing offenses here and there. Anytime you commit crime, the parents will be apprehended. Who has committed crime? Your child, your children. Who has suffered for it? The parents. Even where parents are not apprehended, you will not have rest of mind. People will know you, that is the parent of that criminal. You will not feel free in the society. Your child will have given you bad appellation. So that is why, by the time someone doesn't train, groom his children in Islamic way, those children will turn towards to fitna. Number three, al-waladu zina. Al-waladu zina. By the time you train your children, if they are not fitna for you, they will now be zina. They will be fashion. They will be coolness of your eye. They will be comfort for you. Allah has also said this in Surah Al-Kahf. Al-malu wal-banun. Zinatul hayati dunya. Al-malu wal-banun, zinatul hayati dunya. Your wealth and your children, if they are properly used, if your children are properly groomed to be obedient to Allah, they are nothing but fashion. They are nothing but happiness. They are nothing but comfort of your eyes. So that is why we need to strive on child upbringing we are discussing. May Allah make it possible for us. Let us go to another issue. Reward of training your children in Allah's path, in Allah's way. You know, as parents, we really need to understand something. There is a kind of misconception. Majority of parents now, probably, if they are asked, why are you grooming your children Islamically? Why are you upbringing your children in Allah's way? Why are you spending huge amount of money on your children's education? Probably the answers from some parents might be for me to affect what I've sown, probably for me to reap the labor of my stress, probably for my children, you know, to pay me back when I'm old. No, this assertion is wrong. As Muslims, we should understand that training our children in Islamic way, upbringing them in Islamic way, is a rewarding act, is an ibadah, is an act of worship. If you do not do it, as parents, you will be punished by Allah in the hereafter. It is a divine commandment and obligation. We must compulsorily groom our children Islamically, as Allah has, you know, instructed us in different places in Al-Quran. In Surah Al-Tahrim, Allah has said, Ya ayyuhalladhina aman, O you believers, O you believers, Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. You believers, you as parents, you as fathers, as mothers, you need to protect yourself. You should protect yourself and your progeny, your children, from tormentous punishment, from that hell of Allah, that painful hell that is unbearable. Safeguard yourself, your family members, your wives, your children from this hell. By the time we do not groom our family members, by the time we do not groom our children Islamically, the repercussion is that one will be burnt in hell in the hereafter. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. This hell we are talking about, you know, human beings and, you know, woods, they will be used for this fire we are talking about. As parents, as Muslim families, we should understand it is obligatory upon us, most especially fathers, husbands, we must raise our children Islamically to safeguard ourselves and our families from that tormentous hell. May Allah assist us and safeguard us from entering it. Likewise, we are doing that to get enormous reward. Please take note. I've given two reasons now why we must bring up our children. Reason one is to safeguard ourselves as parents, as fathers, as mothers from hell. And I've quoted a verse in Surah Al-Tahrim. By the time you do not train your children, you do not bring them up Islamically, the parents themselves and the children, they will end up their career in University of Jahannam. May Allah save us. May we not be admitted into University of Jahannam. That is reason one. Reason two is that training our children Islamically, grooming them Islamically, is an act of worship that attracts fantabulous reward. Allah will reward us, and I can tell you the reward of grooming your children Islamically is an everlasting one. In fact, reward of grooming your children Islamically is more than reward of some acts of worship we spend a lot of hours on. Let me now give evidences here as well. Please let me repeat myself. I said it is incumbent upon all families, most especially the fathers, the husbands, to group their children Islamically. Number one, to safeguard them from hell. Number two, to fulfill another highly rewarding act of worship, ibadah. In the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has told us, the hadith is that of Imam Muslim. What is there in the hadith? Prophet Allah said, إِذَا مَاتَ بِنُ آدَمَ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. By the time the progeny of Adam, by the time one dies, all his deeds will stop. No righteous deeds, no evil deeds. But there are some people, after they are dead, their book of righteousness will still be open, will not be closed. They will still be getting a lot of rewards from their children they have groomed Islamically. Please let me explain. According to this hadith, Prophet Salam said, by the time one dies, no deeds again, be it righteous deeds or evil deeds, illa min salah, except three categories of deeds. And Prophet Salam mentioned the one I want to use, or probably let me mention all the three. He said, by the time one dies, no righteous deeds or evil deeds will go and meet him or her in the grave, illa min salah. Part of it is sadaqatin jariyatin. Sadaqatin jariyatin, a charity with perpetual reward, with eternal reward, like building a mosque, like, you know, digging a well or borehole for the people, among others. All these charities, charitable acts, after your demise, the mosque you built while on earth's surface, people are still praying there. Kudos to you. Congratulations. I rejoice with you. Wallahi, after your death, you will still be receiving a lot of rewards from Allah for that mosque you built. And Allah has accepted it. For that well or borehole you dug while on this earth surface that you sponsored, the reward will be there eternally, among other righteous deeds. Another one is ilmin yuntafa'ubi. Ilmin yuntafa'ubi, beneficial knowledge that you have shared with people. People you have taught, people you have imparted knowledge on, they will continue teaching others. You will still be getting a lot of rewards from Allah. And the one that is highly relevant with our discourse, Awaladin Solihin Yedi'ula, or a righteous child you produced, you groomed, you brought up Islamically, you will still be getting a lot of rewards. As I, Rashid Hashim, as I'm speaking now, I'm delivering this lecture using part of my little knowledge. I can say it anywhere in the world. My father and my mother, they contributed greatly to my achievement as far as Islamic scholarship is concerned. My father and my mother, they contributed hugely. My teachers, they contributed enormously. As I'm speaking now, my father is dead, he's late. my mother is late. Both of them, they will be receiving a lot of reward in their grave. That one of your righteous children you left behind is dishing out knowledge now. This is your own alert of the reward. Please, are we together? And I can tell you, my father produced a lot of righteous children. As at this moment I'm speaking, we have nothing less than four. See, I have less than four sisters who are already married. And they are all using niqabs. They are niqabites. And we still have like 2-3 others coming up. And my father contributed greatly to this. Because even while he was alive, he supported us financially, morally. He will be getting reward on other righteous children as they are fasting, as they are doing charity. They will, my father will get reward. How will it be if you have like less than so you have 2-4 wives? And you have like 36 children. And all the 36 children, they are righteous. My father has just 15. He will be getting reward on them. If you should have like, let's say if you have 2 dozen, 24, and they are all righteous, they are not bad ones, they are not criminals, they are not humanizers, they are not prostitutes. You get it, they are not drunkards. They are good ones. See their lives you will be receiving after your death. So that is why we need to strive hard, even harder, on training, on grooming our children Islamically, for them to be successful in this world and in the hereafter. See this at this now. Your wala den salihin yad'ula. Your righteous deed, supplicating to Allah to forgive his father. How will you be a righteous child? I mean, you not supplicate for forgiveness for your dead father or your dead mother. So that is why training our children Islamically is another way of getting eternal reward. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let me now emphasize. Please take note. Let me now emphasize that we need to work harder on our daughters. Please, we need to work harder on our daughters. That is why Islamically it is not wrong. If you spend 1 million on your sons, on a son, and you spend 1.5 or 2 million on a daughter, for her not to be attracted to illicit sexual acts, for her not to be corrupted, for her not to turn to a lot of prostitutes, there is nothing bad there. Let me give another hadith on enormous reward of upbringing your children Islamically. This time around, I want to focus on hadith that talks about grooming pious, righteous, and virtuous daughters. In the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Man ala jariyatayn. Whoever trains two daughters Islamically, hatta tabulugo wa tudiroka, until they reach the age of puberty, the age of maturity, wa tudiroka, they are married as virgins. Please put it in probably capital letter. They are married as capital V, capital I, capital R, capital G, capital I, capital N. They are married as virgins. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, only Allah knows what has happened to some people during Jahiliyyah. We, as Muslim parents, Allah has bestowed His mercies on us. We have understood Islam now. our children should be better than us. It would be very shameful for any one of us to give out a daughter in marriage when the daughter has been defiled, when the daughter is no more a virgin, and the parents are conscious Muslims. Probably some of our wives, probably some of our sisters, they experienced jahiliyyah before Allah guided them to Islam. I know some of our sisters, when it was University of Ilorin, they gained admission wearing all these body odds, shape revealing dresses. You get it now, provocative dresses. And before they left, they were niqabites, using niqab. Allah will forgive them. It's not their fault. You marry them, they are righteous, they are virtuous. They have only experienced jahiliyyah, and once they have repented, Allah will forgive them. What's your problem? And we know a lot of brothers too. You know, even probably some sisters have aborted for them. But now they are righteous, alhamdulillah. But our children should not experience jahiliyyah. After Allah has guided us to authentic Islam, we need to work harder on our daughters. Please, we need to work harder on them. They should be married as virgins. They should maintain chastity. Our sons should marry without experiencing premarital sex. By the time we train two daughters, they are married as virgins. Sincerely yours. Anna. That's why in one night she said, Ja'a yawm al-qiyama anna wa huwa wa dhamma asabi'ahu. I, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and such parents, we will be together in paradise. We will be closer in paradise like two fingers. Like two what? Like two fingers. Please let us understand this. Why am I saying all this as preamble? I will enter the lecture now. All this are still part of preamble. I will enter the lecture and I will rush it. With this, we need to understand that child upbringing we are discussing is a way, easy way, is a kind of easy ticket and license to enter paradise. The paradise we are striving for, it lies in grooming our children Islamically, Quranically, Sunnatically. By the time we have done that, you know, we will just gain access to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We will have that access to the Prophet, all because we have grouped our children in Islamic way. Let us understand that. Now we are moving to other issues. Another issue, please let us understand. In upbringing our children in Islamic way, please let us understand some of the processes, some of the requirements, some of the features we need to focus more on. I want to be taking them one after the other. You know, my Yoruba people, they have an adage that says, Amokun ewe ewo, wani oke lonwo owole. You may help me to translate that adage, but the content, the message of the adage is that by the time there are problems, we need to treat the problems from the root. The problem should be traced to the origin, to the root cause of the problem. So that is why in having successful child upbringing, there are certain things we need to focus on. And I want to be taking them one by one. I may have between 5 to 10 different issues here. Let me take them one by one. Number one, ikhtiyaru zawj. Ikhtiyaru zawj. In upbringing your children Islamically, the first step is spouse selection. Spouse selection. You need to be selective. My dear brothers, you know, all of us now, almost all of us, we are married. Except some of us who are planning probably second, third wife. Someone like me now, I'm planning my third one. So I've already got married to two. So I'm still looking at the third one. So that's the nature of our past. We live our past with their own problems. But the issue is this, let us be factual. Sincerely yours, if you want to have successful, please take note, you want to have successful child upbringing, you can't do it alone. No matter how vast you are in Islamic knowledge. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to focus on this number one issue. You should be highly selective of who will be your sharikul hayat or sharikatul hayat. Who will be your husband or your wife? And if you have got married and you are already married to a wrong person, scholars have mentioned some solutions. Divorce may not be the first option. In a situation whereby the husband is righteous, the wife is adulterous, the wife is corrupt, the children may not be pious. Let us tell ourselves the truth. Where it is only the wife that is virtuous, the husband is corrupt, the husband is womanizer, the husband is highly irresponsible, the husband is stingy, is not ready to spend, the husband lacks monitoring, the husband lacks conscience, the husband is not caring, what do you expect? The children will corrupt, I'm telling you. So that is why we will do it together, both the husband and the wife. So that is why the first step to having successful children upbringing is what? Is spouse selection. You select who wants to be your husband, who wants to be your wife. And where we have got it from, let me quickly explain one or two things here. If it is a husband that gets it wrong, the wife you got married to is not pious enough. Since Arijalu Kawamuna ala Nisa, you have the power with you. Even though you still need to pamper her to convince her, you work on your wife. How she will be attending madrasa, how she will be attending Islamic lectures, how she will be moving with the righteous ones, and how there will be probably weekly terbiyah, weekly admonitions in your family, reading books like Riyadu Salihin, books like Minhajul Muslim, books like Minhajul Mu'min, books like Aqidah to Tawheed of Sheikh Fawzan, book like Fathul Majid, book like Kitabu Tawheed, book like Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, English translation, among other relevant books. You know, gradually your wife will be learning one or two things. That is achievable if your husband. And we have witnessed cases of our brothers who got married to the wives who did not understand Islam properly. And through their efforts and the love, you know, women, if they love you, they are ready to obey you and to follow you. And most especially, if you yourself, you are generous, you are caring, you are loving. Women by nature, they follow their husbands. And that's why we have witnessed cases where some of our sisters, they follow Christians. And even some follow people of innovations. All because of what? Because they have money, they have this, they show love, they show care, and they follow them. So when your husband, and you have got it wrong, you can adjust it. If you are a wife, you too, you have your own way. You need to decide how to make sure you attach your husband to righteous ones. That of women may be difficult because men by nature, they want to prove that they're always busy. They are the breadwinners. They are busy. They will look for money here and there. They may not want to be attentive or obedient to the wife. But you try that you attach your husband to righteous gatherings. You make sure you download Islamic lectures to listen together with your husband while in the house. You make sure you appeal to your husband at least to improve Islamically with prayers. You still be prayerful. The same way husband will be prayerful when the wife is not righteous. So prayer and, you know, putting one or two things on ground. If Allah has crowned your efforts, so if it is the husband, your wife will turn to a righteous one. If it is the wife, your husband will turn to a righteous one and you move on. You achieve successful child of bringing. Where it is not successful, that will now tell you, if you are your husband, what is the next thing to do? If you are a wife, whether it will result in the divorce. But let us be careful and put certain things in place. Everything is not about divorce. Divorce is not the first option. May Allah bless our families. Having been careful in spouse selection, some of us now very soon become grandfather, grandmother. I know some of our brothers, we gathered together in 2004, 2005, you know, 17 years ago. And some have even got married while in university. So probably some of your daughters now, the next 2-3 years now, you invite us to come and deliver lecture in the America. The next 5 years, some of us become grandpa. Let us be careful who our daughters will get married to. Most especially in this era, when a lot of brothers, they, you know, their physical appearance will show that they uphold Quran and Sunnah. When internally they are corrupt, they are bad. What they profess has not been internalized. My dear parents, my dear brothers and sisters, by the time you want to give out the hand of your daughters in marriage, you need to be careful. By the time you want to get a wife for your son, you need to be careful. We have a lot of sisters who are pretenders as well. They use hijab, but they are corrupt. They have like 2, 3, 4, 5 boyfriends. So they later pick the one that suits them most. So let us be careful. We trace the religion, the morality aspect, among others. That is number one issue. Let us take note of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us in raising pious children, in bringing up our children Islamically. It is duty of both the father and the mother. And that's where the issue of ikhtiyaru azawj, spouse selection, works. May Allah assist us. Number two, after spouse selection, is for the parents themselves to be pious. Is for the parents themselves to be righteous. You know, by the time the parents are corrupt, by the time the parents are not righteous, it's only in rare cases their children may not be virtuous as well. So that is why both husbands and wives in our various families, we need to be a keeper, a helper, a supporter for one another. If you see your husband deviating in this era of Android phones, we have intervened in a lot of family matters where the husband is having a kind of illicit relationships online with some wives or some girls. Where we have caught some wives, you know, having illicit affairs with some ex, probably, you like call it proposals or what, or fiancés or whatever. So please, if fully we mean this topic, if truly we want to raise pious generation, we need to be pious. We need to be righteous. So that is why, for your children to be pious, to be righteous, they are looking at you. Let us take note of that. Number three is al-qudwa as-saliha. Awi al-qudwa tul-hasana. We need to be role model. We need to be what? To be role model for our children. Let us take note of this. Children, they learn certain things from their parents. If your children, they see you fasting on Mondays, Thursdays, you know, the way Allah has created the kids, they are always inquisitive. That is, you normally wake up in the night on Monday, Thursday, what do you normally eat? What do you normally do? They ask you. It is sooner fasting. By the time they are becoming around age 8, 9, 10, 11, before they reach maturity, you introduce them to all sunnah acts of worship. Please, let us take note. By the time you are not role model, your children will learn bad things from you. Let us take note of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our families. Another issue we should take note of is the issue of an-nafaqatu ala al-iyal, spending on the family. No successful child upbringing where the parents are stingy. They are not ready to spend. They are not generous. Even in this time, let us be factual. In this time, huge amount of money is being spent on children education. Parents who are not ready, to spend, sincerely yours, they may not make any success. So please, we have seen cases of fathers who are highly irresponsible when it comes to spending. And this has grossly affected the children. You know, the Allah has created our wives, whether they like it or not. There will be a time they will conceive, they will have pregnancy. By the time they are pregnant, Allah has described the situation. Wahanan ala wahani. Women, they are not as strong as men. You see them now, there is nothing like paternity leave. We have maternity leave now. It's for who? It's for the mothers. They will have maternity leave. You see all this maternity leave of a thing. So the women, they will not be agile. So that is why, as husbands, don't think because your wife is collecting salary, your wife is having contract, your wife is a businesswoman, it is your duty, it is your responsibility to spend on your children. So a lot of fathers now, they have left that responsibility for the wife. Or they are dividing it, ratio 80 to 20, 70 to 30, 60, 40, or 50-50. Even in some families now, probably the wives, the mothers, take 80%. Oh Allah, do not make our families like that. In a family where the husbands are not responsible financially, sincerely, child upbringing may not be effective. But my dear sisters, my dear ummus, let us explain. There are some situations whereby the husband, they may not be rich to the level of catering for the needs or for the entire needs of the family. There is nothing bad in you supporting your husband. We have read it that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was poor and his wife was rich. She was richer than her husband and she would support Abdullah ibn Mas'ud financially. Khadija, our beloved mother, Khadija radiallahu anhu, we all have read or heard that she was stinkily rich. She was supporting the Prophet. And Prophet Sallam appreciated that because he later mentioned it after the death of Khadija, that she was the one that assisted me with her wealth. Where your husband, not that they are not responsible, not that they are not generous or dutiful, but their income is meager. Please don't, because of that, neglecting your own children. And let me still advise, my dear sisters and umos, we have witnessed it in some situations whereby your husband, probably due to one reason or the other, he gets married to another wife, and you have been assisting him. You feel like he will totally is capable, and that's why he has married a second wife. That doesn't mean you may still not be helping him. I've said it, it is duty and responsibility of the husband 100% to spend on the family essential needs. But where the network is fluctuating, where the network is not full, where the sources of income of the husband cannot provide for all essential needs of the family, and that will turn children to deviants, to be stealing around, to be, you know, begging for money, especially the girls from boyfriends, and that will result in illicit sexual acts. Please assist your husband. Another issue in having successful child upbringing is alwazu wal irshad. Alwazu wal irshad. That is admonition, enlightenment. In our various families, we normally discuss child upbringing. Even this Ramadan alone, I've seen a lot of posters, different states. Even I think I saw one in Abuja, one in Lagos. The topic focused on was still on child upbringing. That shows as Muslims, we understand that we need child upbringing. But our approach to child upbringing is wrong. It's not effective. As I'm speaking now, let us be asking, no problem, inshallah, 30 minutes more. I've seen it. Please, let us check our approach to the child upbringing. Alwazu wal irshad, in our various homes, do we normally have lectures, admonitions, enlightenment classes in our family? We normally go to some lectures outside. Probably we go to lectures on Sundays, probably on Saturdays, probably on night of some days, probably Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday. We listen to online lectures. We join Zoom lectures. We need another one within our family. By the time you start having children, father, mother, your two children. And the approach here, you study the age, the level of your children. That is the nature of alwazu wal irshad, the admonitions, the enlightenment, the training you give to your children. But now, how many families do that? May Allah forgive us. Please, after Ramadan, let us go back. You can design some books or syllabus for that. Like if your children are between age 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you may focus more on aqidah and adab. Allah is one. And let them memorize small verses or ahadith. Like, wa ilahukum ilahun wahidun, la ilaha illa huwa ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. Law kana fihima alihatun illallah lafasadata qul huwa allahu ahad. All the Quranic chapters and verses on monotheism, on oneness of Allah, we can search for them online. We type them out, we print them out. We can use it for our alwa'azu wal irshad and nasiha. We use it for enlightenment in our family. So those children, you teach them prayer before eating, prayer before sleeping, prayer while entering the toilet, prayer before this, prayer while in ruku, prayer while in sujood. I wrote one azkar book like that for my students that they use. Even in my school here at Muflihun, we call it Azkarul Muflihin. All those, purely in Arabic, we did it for them in Madrasa. So they memorize all this as a prayer in ruku, in sujood, why rising from ruku, why doing this, why doing that. And sincerely yours, all these are helping them. So in our various families, we have our family enlightenment program. Our family enlightenment admonition, we should have it. That will assist us in having successful child upbringing. May Allah assist us. Another issue in our family, if you want to have successful child upbringing, is the issue of at-targhibu wa tarhib. At-targhibu wa tarhib. We should have both in our family. What do we really mean by at-targhib? We need to be encouraging our children. Wa tarhib. And sometimes we should be able to discipline them, to instill discipline in them. We should be able to discourage them from perpetrating evils. These are two concepts if we want to have successful child upbringing. Let me explain a bit. You know, children by nature, they don't know essence of some of these Islamic practices. Our daughters are using hijab now. We need to encourage them to use hijab. And they should know why they are using hijab. Our children, in this Ramadan now, some of our kids, they are fasting. In my own family, I have the way of encouraging them. You fast, you have this 3-gram milk for your store. You fast. At the end of Ramadan, I will do this for you. We are training them. Don't forget, I've seen a wife, a sister in hijab. After the marriage, she still finds it very difficult to fast. She will be eating sahur, and she will be breaking the fast when the husband has left the house. In fact, divorce later happened. This is a sister using full hijab. And she later confessed that my parents did not bring me up to be fasting. We don't fast in our family. My mother will tell us we are young, we are this, we will suffer, we are becoming silent. The Ramadan has affected us. And when you grow up, by the time they grew up, fasting became very difficult for them. We need to have a targhib. Encourage your children. If you complete, I can tell you now, some of our children, even some of the kids living in my household now, I've seen some who have completed 3-4 Quran between Ramadan 1 and 15. If you complete 6 Quran, this is what we do for you. You know, children by nature, they love competition. By the time gift or something of encouragement is attached, even sometimes it may not be gift. Anyone who does this in this family, it will be the one that will control this house for a day. Whatever we want to. You said? I think there's something. You can't hear me again? Yes. Okay, no problem. Let me continue. So what I'm trying to explain is the concept of at-targhib and at-tarhib. At-targhib is to encourage. You said? People can hear me now.
I can hear you very loud and clear.
Let me continue, please. Let me continue. Yeah. Let me continue. Oh, thanks. So probably you check your own setting there. I know a lot of people can hear me. So what I'm trying to pass across, in having successful child upbringing, we should not be every time ash on our children. You should be able to encourage them. Give them gifts. Buy new things for them. Take them probably to some cafeteria that if they have done this, this is what I will do for you. You will see they will be conscious of Allah. And when they misbehave, there should be way of tarhib. You let them know having boyfriend, girlfriend is not part of Islamic teachings. You should let them understand dancing, listening to music, chanting music is anti-Islam. you should discourage them from evils. This is part of, you know, I know in the Western world now, their own is just continue pampering your children. No, in Islam, we have discipline. You can see the Lord Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Muru awladakum salat al-sab'in wa dribuhum 'alayha li'ashrin wa farriqu bainahum fil madaji." Prophet sallam said that command, instruct your children to be observing salat at age 7. Before age 7, you will be training them. By age 7, they should be commanded. By the time they reach age 10 and they do not observe salat voluntarily, independently, sincerely yours, you can flog them. But I know the Western one now, flogging is discouraged. In Islam, you can instill discipline in your children for them not to be corrupt, for them not, you know, to be bad ones. That's another issue. We need to understand, as far as having successful terbiyah, successful child upbringing is concerned, let us take note of that. As-suhubatu as-soliha, la suhuba as-sayyiha. The issue of companionship, please take note. The issue of what? Companionship. The company our children keep, we should work on it. Please take note. We need to work on the company our children keep. The peer group influence is too enormous. You see, some of our children we have worked on, they will be corrupted outside. And that has to do with a lot of things. Number one, ikhtiyaru al-madrasa. You need to be selective. The school you enroll your children. You need to enroll your children in schools where the owners, where the teachers are pious, are conscious of Allah. There are a lot of schools, the owners may be pious, may be conscious of Allah, but they employ corrupt teachers. They will corrupt your children. You are paying, at the end of the day, your children will be corrupt. Please, let us take note. The madrasa, even the madrasa, our children will go. We need to be selective. You want to live in any environment, alijaru, kabila da, the issue of alijiwa, our neighborhood, we need to be conscious of it. Neighbors, sometimes, they may corrupt our children. Your children listen to music around. They dance around. And you are telling them music is around. After you have left the family, so, you know, you have gone to your place of work. The husband has gone. The wife has left the house. The children, when they come from the school, you know, the neighbors, they are playing music everywhere. The children are dancing. They are addicted to music without your knowledge. What has affected them now? The company they keep. We need to look for good neighbors. Any environment where we want to reside, we should avoid the neighbor influence as well. Likewise, their friends. You should know who are friends of your children, even your wife. Friends, they influence one positively or negatively. And Prophet Salam has told us that in hadith, he said, "Ar-rajulu ala dini khalili, falyandur ahadukum man yukhali." That human beings by nature, they will all follow the path, the way of their bosom friends. Beware of who you choose, who you take as your intimate friends. Please, we should not allow our children to move with bad ones. They influence our children negatively. And the successful child upbringing we are discussing will be something of marriage. Please, let us work on that. Another issue, on the issue of child upbringing, is atadarruj, uslubu tadarruji. If you want to have successful child upbringing, please don't expect your child of age 15 to understand what you understood at age 49. Dear father, things are not done in that way. Let us be factual. Things are not done in that way. You know, some parents, they are always in haste. Aisha is supposed to have understood this. Abdullah is supposed to have memorized this. Uslubu tadarruj. Child upbringing is a gradual process. It's a what? It's a gradual process. You start training your child from a level to another level. From a level to another level. So by the time you want your children to understand everything within a year, what will you now teach them next year? We continue teaching them. We continue training them. We continue grooming them. That is why when we notice certain bad things in them, we discuss it in our weekly admonition and enlightenment I mentioned the other time. Even by the time you have children who are up to age 12, 15, 17, they should be groomed to read book for younger ones. They should be da'iya. They should be callers to Islamic path. Please let us understand that uslubu tadarruj. Having successful child upbringing should be a gradual process. And that's what I've observed in some brothers now. They get fire brigade approach training. Fire brigade approach training. And you see them, they start condemning all scholars. It's only they themselves that they are righteous. Ask them, how many, when did they start practicing sunnah? It started 2-3 years ago. And now he has understood sunnah better than those who have been preaching sunnah 40 years ago, 30 years ago. So that's the problem now. We should groom our children gradually. The training will enter them gradually, and it will be sticky for their memory. It will really assist them. Please let us understand this. May Allah assist us. Adamu shidda wal gilza. Please, in having successful child upbringing, we should move away from harshness. Please, I've not said we should move away from punishing children. No. I'm of opinion punishing children is allowed. I'm of opinion flogging your children where necessary is allowed, with wisdom, strategically, tactically, with love, with care, with good intention, without causing injuries for the children. There is nothing bad. But the issue of harshness, it will make your children to be distant to you. Especially mothers, you should be closer to your children. You should be lenient with your children. You should relate with them in such a way that if anything happens in school, they will tell you. We have seen cases where some teachers, they were molesting the girls, teenagers, kids, and they were threatening those girls that if they tell their parents, they will kill them. And see, the mothers were also harsh. But in a situation whereby you are closer to your kids, they will narrate everything to you. Mommy, I see uncle and auntie, they are now kissing themselves like this, in the class. They don't understand what is happening, but they will narrate it to you. You quickly go to the school where your teachers, they want to corrupt our children. It happened in the school. Male staff and female staff, they thought, this is not a primary school now, that they are kids of primary one, let's say age 4 or 5. The male staff and female staff, there was a kind of boyfriendship, girlfriendship, relationship between them. And during the long break, the male went to the class of the female. You know, he sat beside her, massing one another, kissing. They thought those pupils were kids, that they don't have any brain. And one of the, like almost 50% of the class, they told their mothers at home, hey, mommy, well, you know, during our long break, you know the kids now, tell auntie and uncle, No. They were now narrating Yoruba in their local language to their parents. You know, the next day, like 10 parents, they came to the school to see the proprietress. That, please, who are your animals? Who are the teachers? Who wants to corrupt our children? Sincerely, that's the end of their career now. You see the situation now. But there are some parents, even their children want to narrate what they are experiencing. But out of fear, because the parents are too harsh, they will not be able to narrate. Please, in having successful children upbringing, Iyaka, Iyaka, Washidata, Waligilibota, please beware of unnecessary harshness. Too much harshness. You don't need it. It will even turn children to be, you know, they will do certain things not out of understanding because they know you will slap them, because they don't know you will flog them, because they know you will be shouting at them. Our own should not be like that. We should be merciful at our children. Please, not harshness. Harshness normally destroys, you know, issues. Inna rifqa, Prophet Salam said it in Hadith, that inna rifqa la yakunu fi shay illa zan, wa la yunzau min shay illa shan. By the time, you know, lenience is removed from something, it destroys it. By the time it is in something, you know, it beautifies it. Please, let us move away from harshness. Another issue. Al-mufadala bayn al-atufal. Al-mufadala bayn al-atufal. In having successful child upbringing, do not show preference for a child over another child, over other children. Please, parents, take note of this. Your children, they study you now, they know you. The way Allah has created us, naturally, we may love a child more than others. Please, don't show it to your children. Story of Prophet Yusuf is there. No time to explain that today. But scholars who have written books on children upbringing, they have mentioned that a lot of parents, they commit this blunt, this error. Al-mufadala bayn al-atfal bayn al-awlad. They show love, preference for a child over others. This one needs money, they give him. This one needs it, they give him. All because he comes first. Who tells you the one that normally comes last will not be the one that take care of you tomorrow? Who tells you the one with first class will not die in the last, what's it called? In the last year of university. We have seen case of parents who nearly died because the most beloved child to them died abruptly. Please, let us take note. Please, let us take note. We should not show that. It is natural. It is innate. It is normal. We may love a child, probably because of the way the child does, probably because one performs better, one is obedient, one listens. But we work on all of them. We should be just with them. We should not, because of that, you know, buy something for one at the expense of other. So please, we need to be careful. Other children, they may not be attentive. They may not be righteous. They may not be virtuous. They may even conspire as the children. Other brothers of Prophet Yusuf, as they conspire against him. Let us beware of that. Now, which kind of terribia, child of bringing, are we to give to our children? I have with me here 8 to 10. So, and that will be the last part of the lecture, inshallah. I will try to summarize, to rush it, and I will summarize the lecture in Yoruba now, as I've been pre-informed. Now, in having successful child of bringing, their parents, you need to focus on 8 to 10 teribia, child upbringing, what you need to give to your children. Number one, we have a teribia to al-imaniya, awi teribia to al-akodiya. You train your children on iman, on beliefs, on having sound creed, authentic akida. Authentic Islamic beliefs. They should know Allah is one. Allah is in heaven, but his knowledge encompasses everywhere. They should understand that Allah knows everything. Allah is everywhere. They will not see your money. They will not misbehave. You see, that training is very, very essential. They will not join the Tawagit. They will not join the demons. They will not join the cults. Because they believe in oneness of God. They know Allah is one. He is able and capable. He is powerful. That will be sufficient for them in being a good child. We should focus more on At-Tarbiyatu Al-Imaniyya. We plant Iman in them, and its training is also a gradual process. Number two is At-Tarbiyatu At-Ta'abudiyya. At-Tarbiyatu At-Ta'abudiyya. That one is to train them on acts of worship. We train them on how to observe salat. We train them on how to fast. We train them on how to wear hijab. We train them how to dress Islamically. We train them how to read Quran. We train them how to spend on Allah's cause. We train them how to be good to parents. We train them on all acts of worship. Let us take note of that. That is number two. I will be explaining it briefly. Number three is At-Tarbiyatu Al-Khuluqiyya. We train them on how to be morally upright, how to be ethical, how to have good behaviors, good conduct. We should train them to be truthful, to be trustworthy, to be honest, to be modest, to be patient, to be merciful, to be caring, to be loving, to be forgiving, among others. To be humble. Your children should not be arrogant because their father, their parents are rich. And what is that after richness? Grave. Please, by the time you observe that your children are having arrogant traits, please, you need to caution them. I know a father that punished a child in front of the driver. You know what happened? The father employed the driver, a old man, to be driving the child to the school, because the father will need to reach the place of work earlier in the morning. It's one of the leaders there. And you know, one day he had the JSS boy saying, "My driver, oh yeah, let's go." My driver. The father said, for example, "Rashid, what have you just said now?" I said, "My driver." "Who is your driver?" "The Dad Baba now." "Are you with your brain? Dad Baba, who is even older than me? Is your driver? Is he your driver or my driver helping me?" You, this child. You know, the child has started displaying the traits. My father is rich now. My father employed him now. My father is paying his salary now. Even the father, he doesn't see it as anything. But that man, he saw it as something serious. How will my child display arrogance in my presence? Please, we should train our children to be morally upright. That is At-Tarbiyatu Al-Khuluqiyya. They should not be insulting people around. They should not be abusing people. They should not be displaying rubbish around. That's Tarbiyah 3 we give them. Tarbiyah 4, At-Tarbiyatu Al-Jasadiyya. Awil Jismiyya. We need to train them to be physically fit. It's part of training in Islam. Because all the acts of worship we do in Islam, you need to be sound. You need to be physically alright. You need to be physically upright. We are fasting now. Even those who are sick, they are exempted from fasting. They are exempted from fasting. So that is why, as parents, under this, training our children to be physically fit, it entails a lot of things. Number one, we give them balanced diet. The food you want to give them, let it be balanced diet food. So you give them fruits. Let them take honey. Let them take necessary things that make them to physically fit. Then exercise, ariado. Let them, you know, engage in exercise. As Umar ibn Khattab, the Allah has said, that alimu awlada kumur rimaya wa sibaha wa rukub al-khay. Train your children. Train your children on the issue of what? Alimu awlada kumur, how to throw something. Let them know how to shoot. Let them know how to throw catapult. Let them know how to do all this. Even swimming, actually, among others. train them on all this. So they will be physically fit. Let them be doing press up. Let them be doing the elbow exercise. So that makes them to be physically fit. It's part of training. That's number four. Number five, you need to train them to be intellectually sound. That has to do with education, knowledge. And under this, we should give priority to Islamic knowledge. Some of us now, Ikea is not taken sincerely. A time is coming. Some of the children we have labored on, you know, their wives will take them away from us because you failed to give them Islamic training. This is why you see most wives have interviewed a lot of small sisters that I train. They don't want to live with their mothers-in-law. Go and verify. Some of these younger sisters, this generation, they don't want to live with father-in-law or mother-in-law. If care is not taken, if your children are not Islamically sound, a time is coming, you will be old, you will be aged, they will just abandon you in your house. If they are merciful, they may just employ one nanny or one of you that will take care of you. So their wives, they will be enjoying their wife and their children. And these are children you have labored on. Allow the word you have said at the initial stage of this lecture that you know, even that sorrow, Allah may use as a source of your death. Please, we need to train our children to be intellectually sound. Focus on Islamic education first. Let your children also read the Quran. Let them memorize a reasonable portion of Al-Quran. Let them memorize a hadith. Let them know fiqh, tawheed, aqidah, tafsir, nahwu, sarfu, balaga, different branches of Islamic knowledge. Let your children know all this. Please let your children know all this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Please, are we together now? After this, let your children be leaders in mundane knowledge. I don't want to call it Western education. Because our scholars, Islamic scholars, are leading. They formulated most of this knowledge we call Western education. It's modern education. It's mundane knowledge. Let your children be leaders, be experts in their various disciplines or various departments. Let your children be a force that must be reckoned with. We need to, our children should be engineers. Our children should be medical doctors. Our children should be lawyers. They should be geologists. They should be geographers. They should be mass communicators. They should be English experts. They should be French experts. They should be linguists. They should be Islamic studies experts, Arabic experts. But please don't forget Islamic knowledge. That should be the basis. That is training five we are giving to our children. Training six, that is at-tarbiyatu an-nafsiyya. At-tarbiyatu an-nafsiyya. That has to do with giving them training that will make their soul, their heart to be strong. You know, in some instances, there may be some shocking events. There may be some challenges. We have seen cases of children, like a child wrote jam 2-3 times and he failed. The next thing is he killed himself. Please, what? Something is losing, something is missing. That is a terrible to anosia. We have seen by some parents, they since during COVID, some children, they turned to armed robbers, they turned to thieves, all because of a small challenge. You train your children, terrible to anosia. They should know some challenges may arise. They should not turn to hooligans. Please, let us take note of this. Number seven is a terrible legitimacy. You should give them training on how to relate with the society. When you are meeting 2, 3, 4 people, you should relate ethically. You should not cause problems for the people. You should not be shouting at people. You should not be causing harms, injuries for people. You should not be farting where there are people. You leave the environment. You don't spoil their hair for them. We need to train them how to relate in environment. And lastly, we need to give them training on how to invite people to Islam with wisdom and good admonition. And let me just add one. We need to give our children sex education. Sex education. You know, the people who claim they want to teach sex education now, what they are preaching is not sex education. They want to corrupt our children. In our own sex education, we let our children understand premarital sex is haram. You don't indulge in what? In illicit sexual acts. We let them know. We let them know it is haram for a boy and a girl to be in seclusion, to be in hidden place, al-khalwa. We let them understand, Islamically it is wrong for a boy and girl to be doing boyfriend, girlfriend. We let them understand, Islamically they are not allowed to shake hands, or to hug one another, or to kiss, or to do all sorts of illicit acts. We let them understand that once you are mature, if you have sex, you may be pregnant. We train our daughters like that. We let them understand, if you remain a virgin till legal marriage, you get reward. I, as your parent, I will get reward. We let them understand rulings on haidah. We let them understand signs of puberty. We let them understand implications of signs of puberty. All these are part of a peribiyatu aligensiya, sex education. That will make our children to be chaste, to be virtuous. They will not be messing up around. May Allah assist us and be with us. Sincerely yours, if we have put all this in place, the next generation will be better than our own. So this is where I will stop the lecture. Inshallah. Now let me summarize in Yoruba. Along. Yeah, my business summarize here. Ada okay follow the Torah, can't find you Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sir, in Shoki, in time for all that torí àwọn ìyá wa tó jẹ́ pé káwọn náà tó lè di nǹkan ẹyọ kan àbí méjì mú nínú ìdánilẹ́kọ̀ọ́ yìí bó o la ṣe ń tọ́jú ọmọ bó o la ṣe ń re ọmọ tọmọ ó fi yà dáadáa tí ò fi ní ya ìyàkuyà òun ni tá ń sọ bọ̀ kí wá láwọn nǹkan tá ń sọ òun ni wípé nínú islam kọ́lọ́hún fún wa lọ́mọ oore ni ìkẹ́ni tá a bá tọ́jú wọn lánàá tọ́lọ́hún ọmọ sì lè jẹ́ àdánwò nígbà tí wọn ò bá yẹ ni ọlọ́run wọn ò kó wà lábàá bàbà wọn ò kó wà lábàá ìyá wọn àyànjú eléyìí a dẹ̀ jẹ́ kó yé wa pé ká tọ́jú ọmọ ní islam ọ̀ràn yẹn ni ọlọ́run ló pa wá láfẹ́ rẹ̀ gbogbo bàbá àtìyà ọlọ́run ni ẹ sọ́ra yín kú àǹfúsà fún wàálíkùn náà rọ ẹ sọ ẹ̀mí ara yín àtàwọn ìyàwó àtàwọn ọmọ yín ẹ sọ kó bí iná ẹ rè wọn sójú ọ̀nà ọlọ́run kán mọ́ bá wọná ẹ jẹ́ kíyàwó yín ọjẹ́ ni ọlọ́run ẹ jẹ́ káwọn ọmọ yín ọjẹ́ ni ọlọ́run so ti yé àbí òye ní ìsìn eléyìí wà nínú nǹkan tá a ti sọ kọjá a gbọ́dọ̀ rí àwọn ọmọ wa ni a wá ní káre ọmọ ọ̀pọ̀lọpọ̀ àwọn èèyàn máa ń rò pé torí bá a ṣe ń tọ́jú ọmọ ká lè jẹun ọmọ kì í ṣe gbogbo òbí ní ọ̀jẹun ọmọ èyí ẹ̀ ṣe pé a kẹ̀ máa bẹ lọ́run pé ọmọ wù wá pé ká jẹun ọmọ kò sẹ́ni tí èwù ṣùgbọ́n kì í sọ̀rọ̀ yẹn kí èèyàn jẹun ọmọ kéde ẹsẹ gbogbo òbí ní ọjẹun ọmọ òbí mi ò kù bàbá àtẹmí ti kú ní ìsìn lásìkò tó yẹ kó máa jẹun ọmọ tó sì máa pa nílẹkùn ṣùgbọ́n nígbà tí òsínú kádà bí bàbá mi ọjẹun ọmọ kọ jẹun ọmọ ṣùgbọ́n ó ń jẹun ọmọ nù sàárè mo nígbàgbọ́ bẹ́ẹ̀ pé yóò máa gba aláàdá látara mi àtàwọn sàárà tá à ń ṣe fún ẹ mọ́ láníyàn pé torí kẹ́ ẹ lè jẹun ọmọ lẹ sí ń ṣiṣẹ́ ọmọ ẹ ń tọ́jú ọmọ yín ẹ ń re ọmọ yín alákọ̀ọ́kọ́ torí pọ́lọ́ ni ẹ sọ́ra yín àtàwọn ará ilé yín nínú náà ẹ ẹyin gangan ọ̀fẹ́ wọná toróbì tí ọba tọ́jú ọmọ ẹ yọ wọná ọmọ yẹn sọdọ lórí igun so à ń re ọmọ káwa gangan tá a jẹ́ òbí tá mọ̀ bá wọná táwọn ọmọ wọ́n mọ̀ bá wọná ẹlẹ́ẹ̀kejì a ní ìjọsìn ni ká tọ́jú ọmọ kì í wá ṣe ìjọsìn lásán ìjọsìn tó ní ládá tó pọ̀ ìjọsìn tó ṣe kí ni o tó ní ládá tó pọ̀ òun ni so gbogbo alágbọ́dọ̀ mójútó eléyìí àwa amádìí sì wá pé tọmọ ádámọ̀ bá kú gbogbo iṣẹ́ rẹ ti stop àfi nǹkan mẹ́ta jẹ̀mọ́ sóye àfi nǹkan mélòó àfi nǹkan mẹ́ta ara nǹkan òun ni ìmọ̀ tó fi kọ́ọ̀yàn ara rẹ̀ òun lọ́mọ rẹ tó bí ara ẹ̀ ní sàárà tó náà ṣe tí ládàá rẹ̀ ń fọ̀n àwa bọ́ síbi àwọn nǹkan tó yẹ ká ṣàkíyèsí ká lè bá a rí àwọn ọmọ wa rí dáadáa aláàgbọ́dọ̀ fẹ́sà ìyàwó àbọ́kọ torí ẹnìkan ò lè dá ọmọ tọ́ nínú islam ẹnìkan ò lè ṣe kí ni o ò lè dá ọmọ tọ́ bàbá àtìyá náà máa ń tọ ọmọ èèyàn ò worú ọkọ ò lè yàn ọ̀fẹ́ èèyàn ò worú ìyàwó wo òun lè yàn ọ̀fẹ́ so àwọn ọmọ wa náà tí wọ́n bá ti ń tó lọlé ọkọ ká sì wá dáná fẹ́ẹ́fẹ́ ọmọ wa ọkùnrin ta ló fẹ́ fẹ́ yàwó ọmọ wo ta ló fẹ́ fẹ́ lọ́kọ a gbọ́dọ̀ ṣèwádìí gbogbo eléyìí ara ń tà àti ṣàlàyé kọjá ní fẹ́fẹ́fẹ́fẹ́ ní èdè gẹ̀ẹ́sì òun nìyẹn. atun wa salaye fun wa ko le ja si wi pe rire awon omo se yo sa se yori baba ati ya won ni di kan fun ra won lowo baba ati ya godo je ni re atarapon je ni re awon omo na ba won lori daada baba ati ya godo je kuduwa to asana awo ko se re tawon omo ma ko se daada lara won baba ati ya won godo ma si wa si mu ile kan ni asiko ti won o fi ma soro olohun ko je pe ori ele lawon omo gbon ni ile won le la mu awon tira mo da pa won ti abi riyadu solein english e ti wa ti ato da ko ni riyadu solein yo so ma yin de ni olohun eni re bi o ko tira yen na mi na ju muslim be nbe mi na ju le mu'min o ka da ju si je si awon tira fa po ba yen ta wa no ri pe awon mo wo je ni olohun gbogbo eleyi ayanju e pe ara ti mo da awon mo je ni olohun ninu ile wa asoro terigibi wa terigib eyan ma so mo loju kokoro omo to ba se bayi ni si daada bayi fun yo gba nkan bayi eyan si ma so fa awon mo pe e ma debi aburu bayi omo to ba debe boya yo ni ya kan ti yo se kini o ti yo je gbogbo eleyi to si n to buru ko ma lo ninu family wa o wa ninu awon alamori eleyi ti ayanju e Olorun ba ni ki ola ko je ki agboye bakan asoro tadaruj pe die die ka mo ro pe gugu awon omo wa ijo kana ni won sare de ni olorun a mo ko won ni die die nkan yo mo wole fi won la iyan je ka won omo wa yo je ki won jina gidi yo si je kan je eni olorun ara nta agbodo moju to won niyan asoro pa agbodo gbo la fomo kan ju omo kan lo ka mo gbo la fomo kan ju omo kan lo o le fa ka won omo yoku kama se ke tare kama gboran kama ya daada awa so awon ire ni bi mejo to ye ka fun awon omo wa ayanju eleyi pe awon omo ta fe kan ya re o ye ka fun won ni awon training kan awon yen la wa nso lo pe alakoko are won ni rire imani ti won fi ni gbagbo ododo solo are won ni rire imani ire gbagbo ododo are won lori ibada ijosin kawon omo wo yen ti o ma sin lo o ti o ma kirun ti o ma gbawe ti o ma lojabu ti o ma kafurani ti o se daada si gbogbo ara aye are won lori ijosin eleketa alare won lori iwa iwo omo luabi ti wa won da won ni wa suru iwa igbafipamo iwa jije ni ododo iwa jije akin jije en ti o laanu loju en ti o lawo en ti o netiju en ti o ni yafa sawon agbalagba are awon mo wa lori iwa daada yen leleketa elekerin are won ti won da pe pelu ka ma fun won lo nje to daaje kan ma je nkan eso bakan na kan ma sere daraya ko ma wa strong tori jobi ji adi bade awon mo wa oni ya ole elekarun alare won terbiya akliya ilmiya ti won ni ma won ni mesin won ni ma le aye ibi mesin oga ni won je ibi ma le aye oga ni won je alare won elekefa ni terbiya no si are emi won ti emi won o ti wa prepared yo ti pale se le pe njo ta won soro kan ba de ohun ogbodo didakuda baba olowo lo ti o fun won ko ogbodo lo jale omo se danwo o feli ko ogbodo lo pokun so a ti re emi won pe olohun ma mu adanwo wa ba mu mi ni pe won gbodo gba pele mi won ni iyin elekefa elekeje aterbiya ti ma iya are won toja si pe beyan si ma nse lawujo ta ba wa lawujo ai ma binu ai ma se pe ai ma fi soda awujo ru ta ba nje on papo ai ma je on aranara ai ma se bi oloju kokoro so beyan se ma wu wa lawujo ti won e fi korira eyan a tri ni awon wa le lori elekejo ni terbiya dawiya a re awon wa beyan si ma pe awon eyan lo soju ona olohun ta won na o fi ma pe eyan lo odo olohun ti won o fi ni pe awon lo si odo esu mo wa pari e pelu oro sex education oro sex education a ka awon mo wa lori n to ni se pelu okun atobin tori gbogbo ta n sai sai ewe ta fe ko won yi won tin ko won suku lada ada won si n ko won okunrin atobin ta ba se bayi won le se bayi won le lo condom ni tan ka awon mo nu awon ori to buru bi boyfriend we teacher tin ko won gan ohun atokunrin gan won kiss ara won ohun gan fi picture won be o picture temi ati boyfriend ni ya awo kan won mo ti aramu ni ko ni boyfriend aramu ni girlfriend eyanmo any brother or sister ajon sense yan ajon lo le ajon lo suku eyin se boyfriend girlfriend wo la mo tin je boyfriend girlfriend e mo jo be fera yin e mo jo pera yin e mo jo church e le jo ma kiss e le jo ma hug e le jo ma sherano ni ogbodo sinu islam okunrin atobirin ogbodo so mara won laye ti dopa ati yawo obirin atokunrin e wa nkoro won e ma se video call ti won ma fi wa ra won han aare awon omo wa lori pe muslimi e yo ni sina muslimi ma ye ni olohun tore n to ba ri omo obirin meji ton fi balaga ton wole oko lodidi omo anabi le mi atiru obi un ajo wa aljanna ni so iyen ni somari ni ipari ti yoruba ma wa somari se na ni english adua summa dua to round it off to achieve successful type of bringing we need to be highly prayerful I'm rounding off already we need to be highly prayerful you know all these issues we have discussed this is mere theory even by the time you put it into practical it is only Allah who can make them to work we have seen cases of children that they are righteous they are virtuous when they gain admission to university just within a semester peer group influence has changed them negatively so that is why as parents we need to be prayerful and we need also riaya proper monitoring we need to monitor our children utmost monitoring kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati you are all caretakers Allah will ask you how you take proper care of your wife and your children let us emulate prophet Ibrahim he will be supplicating to Allah and as far as child or bringing is concerned prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam he remains one of the prophets of Allah Allah answered this prayer most nabiyun abul anbiya prophet Ibrahim was a prophet of Allah and father of prophets almost all the children are prophets of God so please we need prayer we should be prayerful to Allah that all our efforts on our children Allah should crown them with shining success so may Allah assist us and make our children better than us and may we and our family members end our career in Firdaus jazakum Allahu khairan subhanaka allahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu